and welcome to episode 5 of Tea in the Treetops podcast, official podcast of the Tea in the Treetops book review blog. My name's Angela, and this is here's Philippa.
Hello.
And today is the 30th of April, Wednesday afternoon. We do have our little bubs with us again, so if you're hearing squeaking in the background, then you know what it is, and hopefully it won't be too distracting. We've got lots of stuff to talk about today in the podcast. We're going to talk about what we've been reading recently. We're going to do a joint review of Dreams of Gods and Monsters, Eleni Taylor, which is the third book in her series. I've forgotten the name of the series, but that's okay. We'll get to that later. We're going to talk about what we're going to read next, what we're excited to read next. And we're going to have a chat about the phases of dealing with a review book overload, something for our bloggy friends there. And some other random things as well that we come up with. So let's get stuck into it.
Sounds good.
Shall we start with Dreams of Gods and Monsters straight away?
Yep, I think so.
Okay.
You've just finished it, so you start.
It's
been a little while for me.
Well, I just finished it the other day. Let me go back to... Okay, so it was just released earlier in April. It was published by Hodder & Stoughton in the UK and in Australia. And in the US, it was published by Little Brown. And also in conjunction with this release, there was a... Well, I don't know, it might have been a bit earlier than that. There's a novella called Night of Cake and Puppets, which was not a prequel to this book, but it was in between the first and second books. So
okay.
Daughter of Smoke and Bone and the second one, which is called...
Days of Blood and Starlight.
That's right. So the novella is about Susanna and Mick, who are Carrie's friends, who, when they first get together and their first kind of date thing, it's funny and very cute. So I recommend reading that. It doesn't really... Sorry, Madeline's having a bit of a shake over there.
Of all the toys to pick up, the maraca.
I know, yeah. So it doesn't really set up what happens in the third book at all, but it's just a nice little extra...
So it's a companion book, really.
Yeah, because...
Companion novella.
Susanna and Mick are, like, the awesome characters in the book, so it's just a little bit extra about them. It's very cute. So the third book, third and final book in the trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think? Did you enjoy
it? I liked it. I had to admit, as I was reading it, I was a little bit... There were times I'm like, oh, this has really gone downhill from book one. I don't know about this, but it did all come together. So I think if you're a little bit generous, there are a few things that sort of just got added to the mix, perhaps. Sorry, I'm trying to keep this spoiler-free. A few things that got a bit added to the mix that I kind of felt hadn't necessarily been planned out, and she just didn't know how to wrap it all up, so she added it in at the last minute.
Yeah.
I kind of felt that happened maybe a little bit. But it did all come together. It was a really good feel good, and I did like the ending. I did like the ending. I don't know, the journey to get to the ending. I don't know. I think it could have been tighter, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a few recently series enders that have been a bit disappointing. Like, well, I know you really liked Allegiant, but
yes.
I thought it was. I didn't enjoy it as much as the other ones, and. There's been a few others recently that have been a little bit disappointing, but this one was quite epic, like
the
actual scale of it, and, you know, it's apocalypse. I mean, it's, you know, angels coming out of the sky and stuff.
It so, was satisfying.
It was, and the ending, without giving anything away, it was a happy ending. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I won't say any more, but there's plenty of room for more, like the way that it ended... There could be more afterwards, so...
Yeah, it was one of those series where it wrapped itself up and you could finish it on book three, but you could see that she sort of left enough of an opener that if she wanted to, she could write another trilogy in the same world or something.
I hope so, because I just love her writing. I think it's really beautiful prose, like...
The descriptions
are gorgeous.
I don't know, though. Like, I really liked Daughter of Smoke and Bone, especially the first half. I thought that was just so poetic and so beautiful. I'm not saying that the other books weren't, but I didn't get that same sense of poeticness about her writing.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's because it sort of moved from a set in Earth to more of a fantasy landscape, but I felt it lost that. I don't know. I don't know. Hmm. I'll have to have a think about that one more, maybe.
Well, I really want to go back and read the first ones now, because it's been such a long time since I read it.
Yep.
I can't really remember what happened all that well. Okay. So when I started reading this one, I was like, okay, who's this? What's going on? Like,
yeah.
I was a bit confused. So, but it did a pretty good job of reminding me what happened.
Yeah. You know? So what did you rate it? What would you rate it out of five?
I'm going to give it 4.5, just because I really loved reading it, but there are a few things that I didn't like so much.
Yeah.
Like, for example, like you've already said, it was a bit of a mishmash in the middle. Introducing new characters in a series ending is a really bad idea, I think, in
that,
my opinion.
To me, just looks like you haven't planned it well enough.
Exactly, and you haven't introduced them much in the earlier books, and now you're just like, oh, what am I going to do here? I'll just chuck in some extra angels or whatever.
Yeah.
So, it lost its way a little bit in the middle. Got too... There wasn't enough Caro and Akiva kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it came together in the end fine, so that I forgive that. The other thing that she did in this one, which I can't remember what they did in the previous ones, was foreshadowing. Like, she'd say at the end of a chapter, you know, they expected the worst, and then the worst happened, and that's the end of the chapter, and then you don't come back to it till later. I really hate that. I don't know why they do that.
I actually really loved it. She did this from the first book where she did... often at the beginning of the chapters, a once upon a time, like a demon and angel and fella. I quite liked that. I found that was quite good.
And
she was still doing
She
was still doing that in this one. I like that too, because it kind of is a bit of a fairy tale. I don't know. It's kind of got that fairy tale epicness about it.
Yeah.
I gave it 4 stars.
Mm-hmm. And what did you rate the other ones?
Five and four, I think.
Okay.
Because there were a few... I just found book two was just completely depressing virtually the entire book.
It was.
And I just found that really hard to read. It just got too depressing. Mm.
Yeah.
I wanted some good to happen. And while it had a great ending, it just... I had to knock that point off for all of the... Please have something good happen.
Yeah. Well, I'd say that it was one of the best series that I've read in the last couple of years. So I would, in my opinion, if you're looking for a great young adult fantasy angels and demons kind of book, that is much better than a lot of the other angels and demons books that are out there. Mm-hmm. Go for this series. And it's almost whimsical a little bit, and it's kind of, the characters are very light-hearted and, you know, you've got...
There's a lot of humour.
Yeah, it's very funny.
Poetic humour, yeah.
So, yeah, go for it. All right.
So have you read anything else recently? What else have you been reading?
Well, right at the moment I'm reading a book called A Creature of Moonlight by Rebecca Hahn. It's a dragon book as well, actually. That other one had nothing to do with dragons. this is a dragon book. It doesn't have any dragons in it yet. I'm halfway through. It's only a short book, I think. If I remember correctly, it's less than 300 pages, but it's told in the first person present tense, so I walk down the garden or whatever, you know, which is a little bit weird to get used to. It feels a little bit awkward sometimes, but this girl who is originally was a princess, but she's half dragon, and there's all these fairies in the woods who she can talk to, and it's about her trying to come to terms with living in the court, you know, with the king.
So like the fairy court, or?
No, earthly court.
Like, okay, yep.
And because she's, her king is, the king is her uncle, and she's, it's complicated kind of story, but she's trying to depose the king, basically.
Okay.
And it's really good, but a little bit awkward in the first person present tense thing.
It's not working well.
So, I don't know, we'll see how we go at the end. The story might pick up and I might really love it, but... Yeah. Okay. It's beautifully told at the moment. A lot of really lovely descriptions, but we'll see how we get on with that. Mm-hmm. So what are you reading right now?
Okay, so I have just finished reading Crash Into You by Katie McGarry, which is a YA contemporary novel, and it's the third of a very popular series called Pushing the Limits. So I've read all of them. They've all been fantastic. I am not normally a contemporary reader, but I just love this series.
Yeah.
Love this series. So basically they all loosely relate to one another. So you always knew from one of the previous books one of the main love interests. So each one's about, it's kind of like the Cinder series. Each one's a different love story.
Okay.
For one of the different characters, and this is the same. And so this one's about Isaiah, who featured in the previous two as one of the secondary characters. And to be honest, I never really liked Isaiah. I thought he seemed like just a bit of a druggie.
Oh.
To be honest, but he's not, and he really grew on me. And I actually think I preferred this one. Not my, it's probably my second favorite. I think it was better than the second book anyway. And I loved it, and I read it in like a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. So that's been out for a little while now, and I am just reading at the moment a book called The Murder Complex, which is by a debut author called Lindsay Cummings, and it's due out in June by Green Willow Books. It's a dystopian novel. It's very bloody and gruesome.
Oh, right.
To be honest, I'd almost classify it as a dystopian horror.
Yep.
It's still YA. It's still YA. It's been good. There are points, though, that while I've enjoyed it, there are points that I have found the plot to be a little bit disbelievable. I've just found it a little bit hard to believe that, like, this dystopian world, I actually, like, it's enough that I've stopped reading and thought, are you for real? I can't imagine that society would have gone that way.
Oh, right, okay.
So I found it a bit hard to come to terms with the way society has got to this point. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I will keep reading in case something else happens that makes it all work a little bit more. Look, it's still been a fun read so far. I haven't hated it, but yes, very gory. Very gory, lots of dead bodies and blood and death.
Kind of like the Forever Song.
No, like it actually kind of makes a Forever Song have that sort of bit tame feeling about it. Like, okay. It's really bloody.
Okay.
And grotty. Yeah, just ugh, very gritty, yes.
Gritty
and grotty, that's right. Yes, that's what I'm in the middle of reading now.
And have you got something lined up next?
Yes, I've got a couple of books that I want to get started. So there is another dystopian. I'm going through a bit of a dystopian phase at the moment. And it is by Amy Plum, who has written another series that I haven't actually read. This one's called After the End, and it's coming out very shortly. It's coming out May 6th by Harper Team. And I've also got another one that I want to read called House of Ivy and Sorrow by Natalie Whipple, which has just recently been released also by Harper Teen. I think it came out a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
So they're on my upcoming read list at the moment. Sure. Hopefully they're good.
Yep. I've got one. I was sent paperback of The Girl with All the Gifts by M.R. Carey. And it's there's very little on it. Like, the blurb is very weird. Hang on, I'll read a bit of it out, because it's a weird blurb and it doesn't give anything away about the book. Hang on,
but it was enough to make you interested.
Melanie is a very special girl. Dr. Caldwell calls her our little genius. Every morning Melanie waits in her cell to be collected for class. When they come for her, Sergeant keeps his gun pointing at her while two of his people strap her into the wheelchair. She thinks they don't like her. She jokes that she won't bite, but they don't laugh.
That sounds a bit creepy.
Yeah, and reading the other, it's got a lot of really good reviews, like high star ratings on Goodreads. So apparently it's a zombie apocalypse book. So
I wonder if she's a zombie. Who knows?
I don't know. But anyway, I'm quite looking forward to getting stuck into that one. That's coming up. It's due out in the middle of May, I think.
Okay.
Oh, it might already be out, but that's when it's released in Australia or something.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure anyway. So that sounds pretty cool.
Oh, I've just realised.
Review of that soon.
That's the other book that I have to get onto. Gone Girl by Gillian Flynn, which is our Mummy's Book Club book of the month, and is coming out as a movie. So yeah. I think we're seeing it not this week, next week. So I better get cracking onto that one too. I know nothing about the storyline, but it's meant to be very, very good. It's a little bit different from my normal young adult reading.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's intriguing. It's got great reviews.
Yep. No, I haven't read it yet either. I don't know if I'm going to get to it this month, but
at least we'll be seeing the movie first. So,
well, is it on during the day, the movie, or is it
No, we're doing it the same way we did Divergent, so I think we're seeing it at night.
I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make it to that one, but
oh well, we'll see how
it eventually. Yeah. Speaking of which, we did go to see Divergent.
Mm-hmm.
And we did have a question about from our friend Penny, who's in book club but didn't get to come to it to see it. But she saw the movie a different time, so she said, asked us what we thought of it and what we thought about the differences from the book. So what do you think? We really enjoyed the movie, didn't we?
Yeah, I really liked the movie, considering how disappointed I've been recently with other book-to-movie YA adaptations.
Yeah.
Thankfully, Divergent, to me, gave it the thumbs up. I know it hasn't got great critic responses, but I think for your average audience, it was good, it was fun, and it was really pretty true to the book. It kept all the important things in anyway.
Yeah, we recommend reading the book and the movie. And the three books, and it's going to end up being four movies.
Yes.
So the third book will be split into two movies.
Mm-hmm.
So, great series, great movie.
Okay, and what did Penny ask? What's the difference between the book and the movie?
Well, what about the what differences were there and did we agree with them? Actually, I thought the things that they left out from the book to the movie were fine. Like, they were things that didn't... They were important to the story, but they weren't...
Critical.
Yeah.
You could easily write that. Yes, I know exactly what you mean. The thing I thought was perhaps a little bit difficult was there was kind of an assumption with a lot of the secondary characters. There was no names given and no introductions given in the movie. And while it wasn't too important, I kind of felt that it was a little bit jarring. Like, I think they could have made a slightly... Maybe they could have spent a tiny bit more time. Like, we're not talking much, just naming people.
They were just people that she was friends with or in the group with. They didn't actually... And they were important people to the story. We knew they were important people to the story.
Yes.
But I guess people who hadn't read the book wouldn't know.
Yes, and look, the movie worked, don't get me wrong, but I don't quite understand. Most of it, I think they did well for overall four movie series, but I don't quite know how... I don't know, they could have built some of those characters in maybe, I'm only talking like a couple of extra minutes.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't think it would have hurt the story to have named some of these people because I was like, what? Who's that meant to be? Like, there was too much of an assumption that you just got that this character was this or this character was that. Like, especially the Peter character. We won't really talk about Peter too much, but, you know, he's quite central to the trilogy. But and he's really central to book one.
Through.
And they don't even mention his name, I don't think, in the entire movie, did they?
They do. It was later in the movie, though.
Okay.
Like when I knew this guy kept popping up everywhere, and I'm like, who's that guy? And then they said Peter, and I was like, oh, that's Peter.
I had guessed that it was meant to be Peter, but I didn't know for sure.
Yeah.
So that was probably the only bit. And the only other thing that I really thought was different was they really built up the character of Janine Matthews from Erudite. Who's played by Kate Winslet, and I don't know if it's because they wanted to give Kate Winslet a slightly bigger part, because I'm sure they paid her top dollar.
Yeah, probably. So anyway, we recommend going to see that one.
Yeah, definitely got a thrumbs up from me.
And I think the next movie's due out next year around the same time, so exciting. Got a little wait for that, but no worries. Oh, the other thing I wanted to mention is about the movie is that in the first book, wasn't... Like, you know when they tried to chuck her over the cliff? Like, I don't want to give spoilers away, but...
Yes.
Into the chasm. Didn't someone also try to assault her? Like, you know...
When they were trying to chuck her over the cliff, it was also an assault. It was all in one.
Okay. Okay, because I remembered that being in the book, and I was like... They glossed it over.
Yes, they
because
did.
Because Paul really saves her then, and she gets all funny with him.
And they glossed over the fact that her friend, Al, who I'm pretty sure his name was Al... who was barely mentioned in the movie as well, that was a really big betrayal thing, and that just got glossed over.
Yeah, he was failing for a long time before that happened, and that didn't really happen much.
That just got all glossed over in the movie.
Yeah.
But yes, that's going to be a new section I think we're going to try and do. So if anybody has any questions that they want to ask us about bookish to movie adaptations.
Or anything really.
Yeah, like, let us know.
Yep, send us questions, we love that. Okay, so I've got something new this time on the blog. I wanted to talk about this because our friend Anya, who blogs over it on Starships and Dragon Wings, wrote a post the other week about finding, well, she calls it finding diamonds in the rough. So books that aren't really publicised by many blogs or self-published books she wants to read a lot more of those to try and work out, find the best books to recommend to people. So she's reads some of the really hyped up books, but she'd also decided that she wanted to try and read a lot of self-published or less publicized books to recommend to people the ones that she really enjoyed. So it was also kind of talking about the volumes of review books that you can get as a blogger and how to deal with it. So I came up with these things. It occurred to me while I was reading it that there are phases that you go through when you become a book blogger. So if you're thinking of becoming one or you're a new book blogger, you might recognise some of these phases. So firstly, the first phase is proliferation. So there's a lot of review books out there. You can get them from NetGalley, Edelweiss, there's other sites as well that give out review copies, although I haven't really been on any of those, so I can't recommend any, but those are the two main ones that I get review copies from, and you do as well.
Yep.
For electronic ones anyway. When you first start out, you tend to request everything that you can. You see, oh, that looks great, I'll request that. And all of a sudden you start getting approved for everything, and then you have way too many books on your list. So, and it's great, and after a while, also usually about 6 months or so, you can actually get in touch with publishers and they will send you books as well, directly. So there's a wealth of books out there that you can get for free, and it sounds like an excellent idea to request everything. But then you get to phase two, which is inundation. So you've got so many books to read, you haven't got enough time to read them all.
You've also got other books that aren't review books that you want to read, like the last book in a trilogy, for example, that's exactly. Come out and you've got a pre-order from Amazon. Or
so that's what happens. You get inundated. You've got so many review books that you read. You don't get to read books that you want to read anymore. Mm-hmm. And you have to ban yourself from going to the library, because otherwise you pick up extra books that you don't have time to read, and try not to go near NetGalley or whatever, because you just can't... There's only so many books you can read in 1 week, and you just can't deal with it all. So then...
That's the overwhelm phase.
Once we get the overwhelm inundation phase, we get to the procrastination phase. All of a sudden, you're fed up with it all. You're not enjoying reading the self-published review books because they tend to be less well-edited than the major publishers' ones. But you feel that you have to read them. You get to the procrastination phase where you go, well, I won't read it right now. I'll just go and read something that I actually want to read. And I just recently had that at the start of the year when my little one was born. I went completely off review books for a while and just read books that I wanted to read. And you just let all the review books go by the wayside, which can make you feel really guilty, but it also can be slightly empowering. Like you go, you know what, screw this, I'm just going to read whatever I want. And then you go back into kind of a...
I've got nothing to read now, and you start step one again? Not quite.
The phase four is the resignation phase. I've written here, I'm going to try and request only books that I genuinely want to read, that I'm excited to read, and try not to feel pressured into reading books that I'm not enjoying. So if I start reading a book, a review book, and I'm not enjoying it, I try not to feel guilty about not finishing it.
Mm-hmm.
You can still review those books, of course, but... just stop. There's so many books to read that it's just not worth pressuring yourself, pushing yourself through a book that you're not enjoying it.
Oh, definitely.
So,
I think I'm going to just add, sorry, with phase one, I think there's this real misconception out there. I know when I first started my blog and I'd been umming and ahhing about doing it for a good 6 months before I did it, I felt when you read all the how to be a book blogger articles, they make out that it's very hard to get approved for ARCs, and it's like I really had this impression that it was this real elitist thing. So I really had this assumption when I first went on to NetGalley, because I didn't have an established blog, I did a lot of requesting of a lot of things that I probably wouldn't normally have requested, because my assumption was I was going to get declined for 90% of it. So when all of a sudden I got approved for all of it, it was actually quite daunting. So...
Yes.
I'm not saying that all publishers aren't picky, but if you are going to start a book blog, don't make the assumption that you're going to be rejected. A lot of people are willing to give a new blog and a new blogger a chance to prove themselves. Like, publicity is publicity.
Exactly.
So my suggestion is I mean, and it's very hard because you just, it's like walking into a bookstore and being able to get all these books for free, and it's very hard to say no.
Yeah.
But really, you get your approvals and declines pretty quickly with NetGalley. Idlevice is a bit slower, but with NetGalley especially, my suggestion is, you know, just request a couple, wait to see what happens before requesting
and
more.
And make sure you read, like, you can only
really
get so much out of it from the blurb, obviously, but request ones that you are generally interested in. Don't just request everything.
Yes.
Because chances are you won't be able to read everything.
And I have to admit, I've got to that phase now, and it's partly because I don't get a chance to read a lot with the kids, and I do most of my reading at middle of the night wake-ups, which is still sadly way too many. But anyway, that's another issue. I really find I don't request anything, and I'm the opposite of Anya, unless I have seen on Goodreads good reviews from people that I know I have a similar taste in.
Yeah.
I am very skeptical about requesting books. And I miss out on a lot of books that I actually find out I do want to read. Don't get me wrong. That can happen, but that's okay because there's only so much I can do, and I prefer to, yeah, not get to that overwhelmed stage that most book bloggers have probably been at one point or another.
I kind of dip in and out of the inundation phase. Like,
yes.
I'll be on top of it, and then all of a sudden I'll get sent books, or I'll see books on NetGalley.
Something happens in life.
Exactly, and you don't get to read. I decide that I really need to read book 5 of Song of Ice and Fire, which may happen sooner or later, and that takes like 4 weeks out of my life in which I need to read a massive book. But anyway, like, you need to think about if you're going to be able to read paperbacks as opposed to an e-galley. Because reading on the Kindle's a lot easier at times.
I only ever read books that are electronic these days. I just can't pick up a paper book.
Yeah, well, I'm about to try reading a paper book after I finish this one, so we'll see.
There you go, life lesson for people that are thinking about having children.
Yeah, if
embrace those paper books while you still can.
Yep. It does get better. Like, when I went back to work, I could read paper books no problem because I could take them with me. But at the moment, the Kindle is my friend.
Yes.
Okay, so that's a bit of advice for if you're thinking of being a book blogger. Be prepared to be overwhelmed. That's all I can say. All right, so just want to mention quickly the stuff that's on Tea in the Treetops this week, the blog.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the top 10 Tuesday for this week was books that you might like to read if you like certain TV shows. So if you're interested in sort of a book comparison with TV shows, go and have a look at that post.
We've got a very eclectic mix, that's
for
sure.
Well, with these top 10 Tuesdays, we try to all put in some of them between the five of us. So there's a bit of a mixture there. And we've also got a few reviews. We've got my review of The Forever Song by Julie Kagawa, and Philippa's review of Panic by Lauren Oliver will be there in the next couple of days. And also I reviewed the Doctor Who book, which was a Weeping Angels book by Jonathan Morris. And that was up there last week, so if you're interested in checking those out, go and have a look. And we've got lots more reviews coming up soon, because we keep reading all the time, and we keep reviewing, usually.
Except for when we're in which phase was that? Phase 4? Or phase
3? Where we don't care about reviews. No, that's when the blog gets quiet. But we keep reading.
Yes.
Was there anything else that we wanted to mention?
I don't think so. I think that's it for me.
No? Okay. Well, if you like to send us feedback or some suggestions or questions, as we had before, you can get in touch with us with our blog email, which is contact@teainthetreetops.com. Or you can get on our Twitter @teatreetops. And, or you can, of course, you can see all the reviews and other booky stuff on the Tea in the Treetops blog. So teainthetreetops.com. And thank you very much for listening today. Hope you have a great week.
And we'll be chatting again in a couple more weeks' time.
Hope so. Next time, hopefully, we're going to have a giveaway.
Oh, yes.
I think
yes.
We will. So just make sure you tune back next time. We'll reveal more about that later, but it's exciting stuff. All right. Have a great week. See you later. Bye. Your bonus track this time is a special recording made by my three-year-old Sproutling, who decided to sing Frère Jacques, which is his favourite song at the moment, but he doesn't quite remember the words, so he made them up. Enjoy!
Mummy and Daddy.
Sing a song, mate. Sing
Frère Jacques. Frère Jacques. Frère Jacques, donnez-vous, je n'ai pas bidé. Frère Jacques, donnez-vous, ding dang dong, ding dang dong, je n'ai pas bidé, je n'ai pas bidé.